I'm going to take you through a little bit of a small group time. One more question?
What's the timing on large group and small group?
Normally the large group takes 10 to 15 minutes. We try to keep it under 15. Learning center time, especially at 10:15, the children, if they get here right at 10:15, they only have 5 minutes because the service starts at 10:15. We move into large group at 10:20. That allows for transition time, moving 140 kids. And Pete is real good about keeping us on task. You know, he says, "Okay, guys." He hustles them, that's right. And then that allows us a good 20, 25 minutes in the small group because that's really the heart of what we're doing with our kids. That's where the life application comes in. I'm going to take you through quickly what a small group time might look like in the relation to the lesson that we heard with Dana's her drama. As you got into your small group, and keep in mind that this would be in a small group. It's not going to be in a large group like this. This would be in a small group of 8, 10, 12 kids. We would come back, we'd be sitting down, and as your small group leader, I would say something like, you know, "Wow, what do you think about that? You know, remember you're coming off of that awesome, that dramatic reading. God asked Abraham to give up something really important, didn't he? And, you know, what did God ask Abraham to give up?" And this is participation time.
Jesus.
That's right, it's always Jesus. That's right. This is Sunday school. The answer has to be Jesus. So that's right. He gave up his son Isaac. He asked him to give up his son Isaac. It's important to follow God's word, even when it's tempting to obey. It's important for us to obey God and to follow his word. I have something for all of you today, and my helpers are going to pass out a bite-sized candy bar for each one of you, but I want you to listen to the instructions. Okay, I want to make sure that you obey what I'm telling you. All right? I want you to hold on to it for a little while. You can put it in your lap or you can put it on your Bible, but don't open it. Don't eat it. Just leave it alone, okay? I want to make sure that you obey what I'm telling you. Okay, so all these kids have all these little candy bars and they're hopefully putting them down, right? Well, you know, we have to make choices every day, don't we? What are some of the choices that you have to make as first, second, third, fourth graders? What are some of the choices that you have to make? What to wear? Yeah, that's a big choice, isn't it? Whether to pick a brown or an orange candy bar, that's a big thing for a first grader, isn't it?
So
who to play with, who to eat your lunch with, yeah.
Whether
you know,
I'm going to beat my sister this week.
Whether you're going to beat your sister, yeah. You know, we have a lot of things we have to make choices, right? But you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And that's from the Psalms. That's in Psalm 119, verse 11. What does it mean to hide God's word in your heart? Right. It means to remember it, to memorize it, to have it in your heart, to remember it so that when we need to make choices, we can make right choices and we can make the kind of choices that God would want us to make. And, of course, remember, this is going to be more relational because we're in a smaller group, right?
Because they participate.
Oh, tough crowd. So when we have God's word in our heart, then we can remember it when we're in a situation where we have to think about how we can obey and how we can do what God says. Well, how can kids your age memorize God's word? Sing it. Someone can read it to you. That's a good one. Write it down and put it in your pocket. And then when someone asks you to do something and you put your hands in your pocket and say, "I don't know if I'm supposed to walk home after school with you or if I'm supposed to..." Wait a minute. Obey. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." "No, I'm sorry. I have to go straight home. I can't stop at your house today." So, yeah. You can write it on your hand in ink. That's good. So lots of ways. We made funny hats this day, and the kids had little hearts that were hanging right in front of their faces, and so that reminded them that God's word was hidden in their heart so they might not sin against him. Okay. Then we might talk about some situations that might come up at school, and in the interest of time, I'm not going to ask you about all those kinds of situations, but, you know, things that, there's a kid at school that so-and-so always picks on. You know, how can you show God's word and show God's love? Well, we're going to get back to that candy bar that you have in your lap, and this might have elapsed over 10 or 15 minutes, this discussion in our small group. When you get back to that candy bar in your lap, you know what? I think we have a good relationship, and remember that I've earned that trust. I want my helpers to pass the baskets around, and do you trust me?
Yes.
Did you obey me by not opening your candy bar?
Yes.
If you obeyed me by not opening up your candy bar, and if you trust me because we have a good relationship, then I want you to put your candy bar back into the basket. That's your choice. We have had children that didn't turn them in. We've had children that couldn't turn them in because all they had left was a wrapper. This was the exercise that we did last week. And this is an exercise, while my helpers are collecting, this is an exercise that we came up with in our design team. We said, you know, how can we get this point across in the small groups that kids can relate? You know, they can't relate how it would feel to give up a child because they're just kids themselves. And so as we were talking about it, we thought, what's something that kids would like? What about candy? And then we debated some different ways that we could design an activity involving candy bars. Came up with two or three different thoughts, and we kept saying, but that's not the heart of it. The heart of it is that we want the kids to learn from this lesson that they're supposed to trust God and they're supposed to obey God. And so, well, you know what? I know it was real hard for you to give back those candy bars, but that's just what Abraham had to do with Isaac, didn't he? God told him that if you trust me, you will give Isaac back. Ha-ha. If you trusted me, if you obeyed, you may now have this bigger candy bar. Did you? Yes?
What do I get if I give this one back?
You get the ram. So,
what do you do with the kids that ate this?
Well, if they ate it, they didn't obey, so they don't get the larger one. Yeah. Our nursery director asked her children, she said, Daniel, what did you do with your candy bar? He said, well, I ate the first one. She said, well, then you didn't get a big one. He said, no. So, you know, that's right. And I wrote in the curriculum, you may eat that one because you trusted me. He's holding out. Fundraiser size. So that's a way that we made the lesson into a life applicable situation that the kids could relate. That must be yours too.
I'm sorry, I'm busy getting back in place. Go ahead.
As the curriculum coordinator, I meet with the design people. Debbie Cullen as the small group coordinator, and Dana as creative arts coordinator, and then I have a person who's kind of my right-hand assistant that is a layperson. Each of us communicate informally, probably at least once a week as far as lesson concerns. As I'm writing, I'll call and say, okay, what do you think about this idea for small groups? But we will meet once a month and look at a whole unit and get basic ideas and see where we're heading and then go from there.
That's okay. We're going to actually have some Q&A here in just a minute. So if I can just finish this up, then we can be true to other people's times. So that would be good. Okay, so I'm sure you've gotten this point by now, but we think that small groups is the key to the whole morning. If small group time doesn't happen, we've not been successful. Okay? So there's some things that have to happen in small group. It's life application of the truth taught. Okay? How can I use what was just taught? How does that affect me? I'm 8 years old, so what? Okay? So a lot can happen in that amount of time. Again, the leader builds relationships with the kid. You know Susie's grandma died. You know that her cat got run over. You know, you get to know all these things. You also use other avenues during this small group time. This particular one was mostly discussion with little perks in there, but sometimes it's an actual game that the children play all together. Sometimes it could be a drawing. You know, there's lots of avenues that you can use. So it's important to just not be discussion time. Also, we need to make sure that praying happens in that small group. And we really encourage our children to pray. And you know how hard it is to pray in front of people sometimes, you know? So sometimes it could just be a sentence prayer with a blank that they have to fill in, or however we can get them to pray. It's also important for them to see us as leaders praying for them. They may not have a family that prays at home. They may not have a mom and dad who prays for them. But if they can see their leader praying for them, and then to actually see the results of that prayer. And then we really encourage our leaders to keep a journal. In fact, when we were going over this, it reminded us, we've got some new leaders, we think we forgot to tell that. A journal helps the leader keep track of what's going on. And if you told me, and I'm 8 years old, and you told me you're going to pray for me, I believe you're going to pray for me, so you better write that down, because it's real easy to forget. It also is a great way to look back and see the spiritual development of a child, and to see the spiritual development of your whole group. See where they've been, see where they've come. Okay, the values. That's back on your first page. This is kind of a summation. You've seen all this. When we met and got our mission statement going, we then said, okay, what are our values in children's ministry? These are developed to guide our decisions and everything we do. We use this in our curriculum. If we would purchase a curriculum and it doesn't meet these, then we got to add something to the curriculum, you know, if it's missing one of these. So Bible-based, it needs to be truth. Child-centered, we need to look at things from a kid's point of view. We even need to get down physically. What's it look like from this view, okay? But also, just how are they going to react? Needs to be life applicable, creative and fun. We've gone over all that. Relational. And then back to that development of servant attitudes. That's a big one for us. Actually, we learned a tip at Willow Creek that I'd like to pass on to you that I just thought was so cool. You know the different little colored circles that stickers you can buy? When you decide what your values are in children's ministry and you're evaluating curriculum, take a colored sticker and assign it to each value. So green would be Bible-based. As you're going through your scripture or through your curriculum, put a green sticker when you see it's Bible-based. When you see something that's definitely child-centered. So when we're done reviewing a curriculum, Sharon can say, look, I don't have any blue. That means there's no relational stuff going on here. I got to make sure and get some relational stuff happening. I just love that idea. It makes it real simple. We will pass out this curriculum and come on up and want you to meet Lori. Lori, come up with us, please. Lori is the director of our preschool and daycare. Debbie, come on up, wherever Dana is. We have about 12 minutes. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to leave this here. That will save us time. Afterwards, you can come up and pick up a piece of... Oh, great. What a good helper you are. Yeah, I know. That's at the end.
Sherry, could you say something about how y'all discipline kids, help kids?
Oh, we just slap them around.
That's on tape.
Oh, oops.
I'm going to let you guys address that since it's in a church setting as opposed to a daycare setting. So, go ahead.
Oh, are we still talking about discipline? Okay. Well, quickly, discipline. We do have three rules that we go over each week with our kids. They're called God rules, and when you get your curriculum, you'll see that. The large group communicator every week goes over those rules before Dana or whoever, Dana doesn't always do our large group, but whoever comes up here. Every week I try to make that fun too, the one that you have. I said, okay, first graders, what's the G rule? Give the leader your attention. What's the O rule? Only use kind words. And what's the D rule? Don't be a space invader. And those are the three rules. Space invader can mean kids trying to come up on the platform or kids trying to get up here and get the little ram out of the bushes. Hitting each other. Basically, arms, legs, and other body parts, just keep them to yourself. So that's discipline. We try to keep control in the classroom as we go, and we find that if kids are having fun, if they're active, it eliminates a lot of discipline problems before they ever start. The God rules. If you look under the large group time in the curriculum, it's probably on the second or third page. Do you see it?
Thank you, Bob.
Got it. Great.
Have you ever thought, since I really don't like reinventing the wheel, can you ever make this available to other churches for like a charge?
We have talked about that off and on. I probably ought to let Sherry answer this. We're just not
is this on, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you. We're just not ready to do that. You asked that. We're really not ready. We hope to be able to do that at some point, but we still use other people's stuff, too, and we obviously can't publish somebody else's stuff. So,
what you have in front of you is primarily our stuff, but it's also very adapted. We love Gospel Light's scope and sequence, and so I have really I have integrated that into
started.
A lot of what we've done.
Yes, Doug.
Five questions that can all be answered in just one word. How many kids per group? Do you try to limit that to a certain amount?
Okay. All right. They listen.
By gender or co-ed? Both? Okay.
Except in our fifth, now we're talking first through fourth.
Okay. Fifth and sixth, you have all boys, all girls.
Except at 1 hour. Really, just 1 hour, we have them totally separated out, but that's the most popular hour.
Same leaders.
Minimum size. We don't have to ever worry about that.
Yeah. We do find that it's hard to have a group if there are fewer than 4 or 5 kids.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk.
Same leaders for the same group every week?
Yes.
If you've been coded to a color and you're not part of a rainbow group?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Start.
Is a rainbow group leader a specialized person that knows a little bit more how to incorporate guests?
No.
Friendly
people.
I think, yeah.
And those leaders who don't really, how do I say that? Some leaders want that relationship with those kids. If you're sending your kids on, then you're not really going
to. Would a rainbow kid come to a blue kid group?
When? I mean, like, after they're out. Yeah. After they've, this is the ideal. If they've been here 4 times, they're assigned to a color. And they're told, and then they know. Their name tag's that color.
But if I'm a rainbow.
You'd only be a rainbow kid for 4 weeks.
I know, but so, you know, my parents are not very frequent attendees, and I don't, of course, I'm not rising yet, so any kids.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not following you.
Well, I'm here. I'm a rainbow kid. I don't know what color group I'm going to go to.
You're assigned that. Everybody. If you're a rainbow kid, I don't understand, but if you're rainbow, you're going to rainbow. But when you've turned to a true color, you are notified when you walk in the door.
And is that small group leader going to pursue me, even though I'm a rainbow kid, that week?
Oh, yeah, because they'll know that you have that color. Every adult in the room can look at Mr. Fairway here and say, he is green. He needs to be over in that group.
But
yes.
I would rather stay a rainbow because that's what gold is about.
Oh, yes. Kind of like when you're in the Army Reserves, okay? You're in the Army Reserves, and then you make it through boot camp, and guess what? You are an Army man! It's that simple.
But if that friend starts coming regularly,
covenant to teach a certain period of time?
Yeah, usually it's per court, or what is it now set up on?
A year.
Or
by hour. Is that what you meant by hour?
Well, I mean the duration as far as weeks, months, or years.
Yeah, during the season.
Each
yeah.
teacher's committed for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Is there follow up on kids in between weeks, and if so, who does it?
Yeah, Pete, what why don't you?
Yeah.
We call them self pastors. Over a small group, so self-pastor there, he's their pastor, so like if they share something, like if their mom's in the hospital or something, we encourage the self-pastor to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
That's their point of connection.
And that's, again, please, that is the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
We know there are some self-pastors that don't follow through,
mm-hmm.
and so that's where the discipleship comes in,
mm-hmm.
because Pete is great at follow through, and he can be on the train his team pastors.
And I think that works. My husband is a self-pastor. He has been for 3 or 4 years ever since I recruited him. I have to have somebody in the first grade class today. He's been there ever since. One night, one of the children in his small group was having a problem, was scared about something, and he called my husband, and my husband was able to talk with him over the phone. And so that's just an example of how that works. Little first grade guy. So that's an example. Yes, there is, and that's what's so great about Ginghamsburg and having five services. If there is a 10:15 Bible study that the parents want to go to, well, they have a choice of going to the 9 o'clock service, and they have a choice of going to the 11:30 service. So they can go to the 9:15 service, or excuse me, the 10:15 service, and do their Bible study. The children will come in here, and they will experience a small group, large group time, and the parents can then go on and go to worship service at the next service. And so I think to better... The children stay, and they go through it. They do go through it twice, but, you know, we try to make it so that if they do stay twice, it's a fun and fast-moving pace. So it's nothing that they're going to be like, oh, gosh, I'm in here for the second time.
And the other seven were our kids.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, my question is, the services are an hour, so the Sunday school is an hour.
Yes. Approximately.
Okay, so you have 5 minutes they come in, you have these little workshops.
Sometimes, it could be up to 20 or 25 minutes, depending on when they come in.
Well, it starts at 10:15, for instance, right? So
right.
You have 5 minutes, the next portion starts at 10:20.
The activities are ready to go at 10 o'clock. So as soon as the 9 o'clock worship service lets out, kids can come in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We plan for an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay, my question is, after you have the large group, you have the small group. Now you said you made a hat. Did that happen after the small group, during
that
the
was,
small group, or before?
That was during learning centers. If you look in your curriculum, you'll see...
Yeah,
In your curriculum, you'll see the learning center times, and those are the things that are set up as the kids come in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 3 or 4 quiet centers, and then there's also the large group game center. The large group game's what happens over here.
I just
okay.
One other question just regarding the hour is, does the nursery do this, the nursery level? I mean, not the infants, obviously, but the toddlers?
Not the same type of program. We have, we were telling some gentlemen earlier, we do use gospel-like infant and toddler curriculum, and it's very one-on-one.
I'm the new director. I still think I'm new because I've only been there about 16 months. My background's in art and design communications, and I have a Christian ed degree from Asbury Seminary and found myself in this position about 18 months ago. Right now I have about 180 children. I've been tracking demographics for the last year or so, and I've found that one-third of my people have no church relationship anywhere, one-third are in other churches, and about a third say they attend Ginghamsburg, which I figure it means about half of my people are very much unchurched. And so I have a wonderful, very attentive audience who pays me to take care of their kids and teach them about Jesus, and I'm really excited about that. I have 18 staff members. They're not all full-time, and we have curriculum that we have pretty much developed very similar to what these guys have done, picking and pulling from different things that are available. Things that I do make sure that each units are taught are creation, because I realize if these kids don't get creation in preschool, if they don't go to church, they're never going to hear that God made the world, and they're never going to hear that God made them special. So we make sure that that is always taught. We have obviously our Christmas, our Easter, which is, you know, people ask me, well, how much of your time is religious? I said, well, you don't want it, right, you don't want it to, you never know how to answer that. Somebody could be really offended if you say it's 100%. And I said, it's hard to say because it's just so integrated. I mean, our whole teaching, whether we're teaching, you know, about our bodies and our families and ourselves, everything is related back to our relationship to Christ and how much Christ loves us. I've got about 140 kids in preschool, and that's a 2.5-hour program, and then about 30 to 40 50 kids in the daycare aspect, and we take children from 3 to age 12 and doing really neat things. I have a small group. I have 15, 18 women, and I have never seen such a diverse group of women work together and form a community. We are there when somebody's in the hospital. We're there buying food for one another. We started a new Bible study, so I've got people that have been Christians for 20, 30 years, and I've got some new ones that are really exploring. You know, I'm a baby Christian, they tell me, and I'm like, that's okay. We'll help you grow here. So.
Okay. This question, and then we've got I want to honor your time, but we have a 2-minute video, and we have to draw
Recruitment. Besides recruiting your spouses, how have you recruited and how successful has it been?
Let's see.
Really, what you need to do is, this is what they do. They equip us for the lay people to minister. So they do all the curriculum and set it up and administratively close. So what we try to do is bring people in and let them check it out. I mean, I'm new to this just over the last 3 or 4 months, but we bring them in, they see that it's closed. They don't have to teach. They're there to facilitate and share and care. And so we have a lot of different ways to do it. Typically, though, we try to rely on the team pastors and self-pastors to do the recruiting, because they're sold out for the ministry, and so they have the passion, they can share it, and then we make sure we interview them. Debbie does the interview, make sure that the members stand on the board and go over a small group. Okay, but we are stretched. I mean, you know, we're always a little short. That's an add-on. Video I want to show you is is a video that we put together to actually build excitement within the people of our church, and it was played on the big screen. Oops, I got to put it in.
children's ministry offers opportunities for people to express their creativity and to use their God-given gifts and talents in ways that they can express themselves and express their creativity and minister to God's children at the same time.
Anyone, regardless of age, from 3 to 100, benefits from small groups. We all need that place where we can feel intimate, where we can feel loved, where we don't have to be afraid to show ourselves. And that's why I just love teaching in small groups.
You get to know people better, and it's a lot more fun if you know them and you know who to talk to when you need to, and you don't have to say, hey, you.
A small group helped bring out a lot of their feelings and ideas and thoughts, sometimes just on life in general, if not on the particular Bible topic we were discussing.
The children feel more comfortable in that small group setting, and therefore they listen and get to do what the leader is telling them to do.
I think that the Spirit works through the creativity to meet each one of those kids' individual needs, because they could be met through the small group. And if it was a bigger group, then there's no way to deal with individual people.
The benefits that I receive from this is getting to know these children, being on a level where they're not just faces to me. All these children are deep into my heart. I take them home with me every week. I pray for them. It is such an honor and a privilege. It is so special to me to be able to touch these little children's lives for Christ.
Okay, where's the microphone?